Hey, I'm Abigail Johnson, and you're listening to the Tennis in the UK podcast. Welcome to the most informal podcast intro to date. I have one take, so let's go. I'm sat in my car in the car park at the All England Lawn Tennis Club for the main draw of Wimbledon. Today is my first day commentating for the BBC. Everything's been happening the past few weeks, and that was particularly the case last week when I was splitting my time between Wimbledon qualifying in Roehampton, the only qualifying tournament that's off-site at a Grand Slam event, and the Boodles, which is an exhibition tennis event for top ATP players who want to have a match or two of practice ahead of the main draw of Wimbledon without playing a complete tournament. There was a similar event in Hurlingham, and there was also an ATP and WTA event in Eastbourne. Grand Slam qualifying weeks are some of the greatest weeks in tennis. The realest stories and emotions are at those venues, and I wanted to get some of those stories for you from the 16 female qualifiers and the 16 male qualifiers that came through the three rounds of tennis in Roehampton. But I was accredited for radio commentary, which was my main purpose for being there, so I wasn't allowed to record any podcasts. I do, however, have a very good alternative for you. It just so happened that at the Boodles there were two players who both qualified for the Wimbledon main draw for the first time in 2017, and they are none other than top 10 players Andrei Rublev and Stefanos Tsitsipas. Steph did try to tell me that he qualified in 2018. I said I would double check, and I was not going crazy. It was 17, so I will edit that out for him, but also it makes no difference because I've just exposed him. It just goes to show that you never know who you will see in those up close and personal grounds in Roehampton. So I got both Andre and Steph to reflect on their time at qualifying a little bit and also look ahead to Wimbledon and the grass court season and how it fits into their schedules and what it means to them. So we're going to start off with a few minutes with Andre Rublev. Andre, great to see you here. This is your first time at the Boodles, right?
Yeah,
this week?
It was my first time. So yeah, I enjoyed it and it was really, really nice experience.
Did you have expectations for it coming in? What it would be like? How did it compare?
I don't know. I don't want to think about expectations. I don't want to think about how it's going to be. We'll see. I will try to do my best to focus only on my game and we'll see what's going to happen.
That's a good way to go about it. Now, I've been at qualifying this week in Roehampton, and you went through qualifying. Can you remember the most recent year that you played qualifying?
Yeah, I played, I tell you now how many times, I played 2015, 2016, 2017 qualis, and 2015 and 2016 I lost second round quali, and 2017 I passed quali and I passed one round in Wimbledon.
Great memory. I'm always impressed by how good the tennis memory is when you play so many matches. I had checked that. So 2017, you qualified.
Yeah.
What was that experience like playing in Roehampton compared to playing main draw at Wimbledon?
I mean, because the qualies they are doing on Roehampton, so the feeling was like you are playing another tournament. So it's just like another tournament. And if you win three matches or four, it's like you win a title. You know, the feeling was like this. And then you go to Wimbledon, kind of. So that was my feeling, because when the first 2 years I lost in qualis, in the end you don't even see Wimbledon. You just lost qualis somewhere in a park courts, and there is almost no people, and that's it. And your Wimbledon was over. So when I passed quali, it was like winning a title, and then I think I didn't play for next 2 or 3 days. So yeah, and then finally I got chance to see the Wimbledon, to have this experience, to be there, and in the end I won one match and I lost second round.
So do you think it was tougher mentally to play at qualifying than to play your first match in the main draw?
Yes, I think so. Because, like I said, it's like to win another title. To win three matches in that courts against, when all the courts are one by one, so the balls are flying from each court, and it's super tough. It's not easy to pass qualis in Wimbledon, and you need to have really good level and to be mentally ready. So the players who are passing qualis in Roehampton, it's not easy, they're doing really, really tough job.
Yeah, a lot of grit and determination. Which win meant more to you? The win where you qualified for the main draw for the first time, or that first main draw win?
I don't know, because when I passed quali and I passed first round here at the Wimbledon, I already passed slams, I mean matches in Grand Slams, so okay. it was not my first round in a slam. I was already passing qualis before on a different slams, and I was winning matches on a different slams. So, but out of all slams, I would say the Wimbledon, the qualis that I passed in Wimbledon was more special, because it was tougher. Because, like I said, Australia, you play in the same course, so you see the, you feel, you it's like you play, the same tournament, you know, Roland Garros the same, US Open the same, and the Wimbledon is the only one tournament that if you play quali, it's like you're not at Wimbledon.
That's a really good point. So, did you have a particular slam that everyone has dreams of winning a Grand Slam growing
up?
No,
I don't have.
You didn't dream of winning a particular one?
No.
What motivated you in terms of your tennis and your goals if you weren't thinking about winning a Grand Slam?
Of course, I was dreaming to win a Grand Slam, but it doesn't matter which one. I mean, I hope at least one. Doesn't matter which one.
Okay, so you've had particularly good results on clay recently. Being a good clay court player and the grass season being so short, How does that affect? How do you look to make tweaks in your game to be able to play well on grass? Or how do you approach it?
I don't know, like all the players, if you have a couple of days, like, I mean, in my case, because I didn't play first week of grass, I had a bit more time. I had... Maybe I went to Halle on Thursday, so I had 3 days before my first doubles match, and then you just go and play, and then you try to get used to with the matches the way it goes. And then I did really well in Halle, did final, and of course after one, two matches, you start to get used to. So in the end, of course after 1 week, playing a couple of matches, in my case I played already many matches on grass, of course you get used to.
Okay.
So it's like this, maybe like, the previous year, sometimes I was losing first round on a previous tournament, or I was not playing anything and I was going quali of Wimbledon, so it was, it's like you never know. And then you just go and play. There is no one, you know, preparation that works the best. You can prepare 1 week before and lose first round, you can come 2 days before and do final.
Yeah, it can be very different. And you've, one last question, because I know it's cold out here, but you said it, you made the final in Halle, which was a great run. If on a scale of 1 to 10, if 0 is your friend Daniil Medvedev and clay, and 10 is Novak Djokovic at the Australian Open, where is your relationship with grass going into Wimbledon out of 10?
I have good relationship with grass, I just don't like it, because it's unpredictable. Because some matches, let's say... When I play hard or clay, I know it's depending on me. If I will play good match and I will be stable mentally and I will be there and I will have a really good chance to win. And the feeling on grass that even if I do those all things, the chance that I win, of course, there is a high, but it's much lower than on clay or grass or clay or hard, because maybe one guy, he just shoot few balls out of nowhere and he break me and that's it, the set is done.
Yeah, it can happen quickly, and like you say, it can be unpredictable, but that might mean something good is around the corner.
Yeah, because the same can happen, maybe I can beat someone that I will not expect.
Well, so. We'll wait and see what happens at Wimbledon. Andre, thanks so much for taking the time and have a great Wimbledon.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Andre for sitting out in the wind. We did this outdoors, so not ideal conditions, but he was very good to see it through. And now to hear from Stefanos Tsitsipas. Steph, it is great to see you back at the Boodles. You were saying on court, you've been one of our committed players here in previous years, but back for the first time since 2019. Last time you were here, you only had a third of your ATP singles titles. You had three of the nine, so we're going back away. Who is Stefanos Tsitsipas now compared to the player who was here in 2019? How have you changed? What's different?
Good question. Well, I have evolved as a player for sure. And, you know, I have tons of experience under my belt now as opposed to before, which gives me the privilege to to deal with certain situations. And when it comes to my profession, you know, I will have a lot of moments that require critical thinking and fast actions. And having that experience under my belt helps me get, you know, the right decisions at the right time, I would say. I'm still learning. I'm still a child. I consider myself pretty young. It gives me the chance. I'm given the chance actually every single day to learn something new, and I have evolved into a man now. I feel like very different.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? And we never stop learning. We have to go even further back to get to a memory that I wanted to draw to your attention, because Andrei Rublev was here earlier. He qualified for the Wimbledon main draw for the first time in 2017. I believe it was the same experience for you, that 2017 was the first time you went through qualifying. What I want to know most of all is, how well do you remember that? Because Wimbledon qualifying is very different to the other Grand Slams in terms of it takes place in Roehampton. It's not actually on the site of the event. So what are your memories of Wimbledon qualifying?
That is right. I remember playing good tennis at the qualifying of Wimbledon that year. I had a very difficult... The one match that stays with me is that five-setter that I played in the last round of qualies against Delors from Belgium. I don't remember exactly how many hours we stayed in, but it felt like an eternity. And going back and forth. You know, I won the first set. I think he won the second one. So it was really intense. And I remember that relief at the very end, the forehand that he missed after his serve. It was a very big moment in terms of my career, in terms of my confidence, knowing that I just qualified for Wimbledon main draw, which, you know, I just... finished with juniors, and that was a year before that. And my transition into pro was very good, but that particular moment gave me the opportunity to really step up my game and see tennis from another perspective.
Dominic Thiem is your first round opponent at Wimbledon this year. I was looking at your previous opponents in Wimbledon. It seems you've had quite a tough time of it. Even players like Thomas Fabiano, who you lost to, he's really good on the grass courts. Do you feel like you've almost not been able to play your way onto this surface yet? You've had some tough draws out there.
It hasn't really clicked, to be honest. Like, I consider myself a good grass court player. And people, you know, people are wondering, why am I not performing or playing good on the surface in terms of, like, you know, going deep in tournaments, being consistent with big titles and wins. I just think it takes time, you know. It's as much of a pain in the ass as it might be, you know. You just have to be patient with it. I feel like I'm getting into the rhythm of it. I just, like, some players have figured it out, some others haven't figured it out as much, and for some people they're late bloomers. So, you know, that could be my case. I would say, but I'm putting a lot of effort into it every single day. I want to thrive on the surface. I want to live my dream at Wimbledon. I want to make it happen.
Yeah.
Just like every single child that ever held a racket, I want to be that. That little kid that dreams of lifting a Wimbledon trophy one day, and it has occupied a fair amount of time in my head, visualizing it and trying to kind of dare to dream in a way, which is awesome that I get to have it so intensified in my head and wanting it so much.
The perspective is great, and there is still time. So all the best for Wimbledon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steph. So that's Stefanos Tsitsipas. Thank you again to Steph and Andre for featuring, and thank you to the Boodles, one of my favorite weeks of the tennis season, for allowing the opportunity to get two such big names on the podcast. I now have to dash. Work starts fast and furious in a couple of hours' time. I've got a meeting before that as well. I have worked out that it is not going to be possible to release podcast episodes during the tournament's main fortnight. So either I will see you after the culmination of the tournament, or I will see you in a month or so for Series 3. I can't give you a guarantee on when I will next be back. So in the meantime, to keep up to date with the tennis and where I am, you can follow the podcast on Instagram at tennis_in_the_UK. That is updated regularly, and even more regular are the updates on my personal social media accounts. I'm on both Twitter and Instagram at Abigail T. tennis. Thank you for listening. Thanks for your support. And whenever it may be, I will see you next time.